What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yep, today we have a fun one. Today we have actually, y'all are going to be entering a conversation that Michelle and I literally have on the daily basis.
Are we talking like after we get done reading, we come to each other and say, listen to this? Yeah.
Pretty much. Not every day. We're not going to sit here and say we're some, you know, revelation people that get fed revelations every single 5 minutes.
Well, now, that's also not why we read the Bible.
Yes.
Okay. Let's keep that in mind. We don't read it to get revelations. We read it to know God's word.
Yeah.
You know?
And change. But yeah. So love you guys, but we're kind of going to act like y'all aren't here.
Yeah, so we're just going to have a conversation.
Yeah. I think this will be a fun one for you guys. Y'all are going to kind of step in. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
You're a fly on the wall.
Yeah. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. We're kind of just going to flow. This episode may be 20 minutes. It may be 2 hours. I hope it's not 2 hours because we have to go to bed.
Yeah.
But who knows? We're going to let God's will be done. You want to start or me, honey?
I don't know.
Wait a second. Do we even say what the episode was about? I don't even think we said.
No. Okay. So we're both reading, studying different parts of the Bible. So we both have two Bibles, one that we read, one that we study.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is the brown one, right? That you just read.
I read a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also always have two different books of the Bible that I'm reading and studying. So I'm studying Acts, reading Hebrews. So we're going to talk about things that we're studying, that we're learning. You're going to use your study Bible. What are you in? All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What are you going to read from?
Well, I just got done with Matthew. It took me 2 months.
Okay.
Literally 2 months.
But you were bouncing around.
I was bouncing around, kind of.
Because you told me that you're reading the Old Testament, too. So we're just going to have a conversation about things that we're learning.
That we're learning. Yeah.
That we learned.
And one of the things I kind of already told you that I want to talk about, but I would love to share with everyone else. And I also shared on a YouTube video and multiple shorts, but I'm going to share it again.
Okay. Because it seems like you're really excited. So do you want to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
That's fine. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5.
Everyone turn there with your Bibles.
Yes, turn there with your Bible because trust me, you're going to want to highlight this and I don't want to say I'm some like amazing evangelist or whatever. No, no. This is just something I got fed and I was like, "Oh my." I had to take a breather. I had to take a breather for a while. Okay. So this is Matthew chapter 5. Starting at verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." I'm just going to read that verse. It goes on to Jesus explains, like, you are the light of the world. Yada, yada,
city
yada.
On a hill.
Yeah.
Is that what it says? Yeah.
Yeah. So this is something I want to tack real quick. So everyone knows what salt is. First off, I want to say, salt was like a very big thing. Like, I mean, like, salt was very, very, how do I explain this? Precious.
Mm-hmm.
Back in you know, I guess we can say Bible times. Salt was a big deal. All right. So a lot of times people like to explain this verse as, you know, we are called salt because salt, you know, preserves food, and salt, you know, gives food flavor, and we're called to be the flavor of the world and stuff like that. But I caught something when we were in Ohio, actually, that I've never caught before. And it's funny, when you walked in, you remember the story now? Mm-hmm. So she walked in and I turned around. I was like, honey, you gotta listen to this. And it's funny because what I told you was just like the intro part. Mm-hmm. And then I got just like downloaded just mm-hmm. everything else that I needed to know, I guess, for this verse. So what I told her was, so we're called to be salt. What do you think salt means? And then she told me, and now this is a story time, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And she was like, well, salt, you know, makes food better, preserves food. Yeah, that's what usually people say. And I was like, but salt also makes people thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, and it was funny when I said that, her eyes like lit up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, she catches my drift.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what if Jesus calls us to be salt because we're supposed to point to the one that quenches the thirst?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it made me think a lot about kind of what I am doing on my mission, and kind of like our ministry, even what we do on here. Is, are we making people thirsty?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, this is going to sound really bad, but that may sound kind of perverted.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Yeah, yeah.
But seriously, like, are we pointing people to quench their thirst?
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason why I say that is because Jesus literally calls himself living water
mm-hmm.
when he talks to the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can quench your thirst in other ways, soda, whatever. But the best way to quench your thirst is water.
Mm-hmm.
H2O.
Yeah.
Hydrogen.
Agua.
Two hydrogen and one oxygen, right? Is that what water is? Or is it two oxygen and one hydrogen?
H2O. H is hydrogen.
Yeah, H2. So the two is for the hydrogen or
correct.
The oxygen? Yeah.
Hydrogen.
Two hydrogen molecules and one oxygen
okay.
molecule,
yep.
water. So yeah, that was something I learned, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
So
that was really good. And this could be like an example of this could be like the way that you're living. So I feel like the biggest thing that people notice is change in your life,
mm-hmm.
and it makes them curious,
yes.
wondering like, why is this? You know, I always like to make sure that like people are careful with who they're around, but I do see the benefit when you, before you become a follower of Jesus, you're with a group of friends and then you start following Jesus and you still like kind of talk to them, don't hang out with them as much, but just enough so that they can see the change in
they
your
can
life.
See the changes. Yeah,
because
yeah, exactly.
they've, mm-hmm. they've known you before, and you went through this with all of your
oh, yeah.
friends in Houston. You know, everyone was like, wait,
this guy's
what?
A weirdo now, and yeah. then they're like, wait a second,
something's different, right?
This guy's quenching his thirst.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They're like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
And this is not a boast either.
No.
This,
and these
there's
are natural
no reason
changes.
For me to boast.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no there's like there's no point.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a really good point, honey. That's kind of the next point I wanted to go on was mm-hmm. the salt that Jesus is referring to is really about the way you live.
Yeah.
And it's about seeing change in your life.
Yeah.
Because, dude, Jesus is so anti mm-hmm. from the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously,
he's upside down.
You know, when people say Jesus is just a really good teacher, and no, he's not. He is so much different
mm-hmm.
from any king or any ruler
yeah.
or any prophet or any rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, he is very, very, very different. And then when you are following something like him,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna stand out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like. People can point out someone being nice, but there's a whole nother level after nice, and that's compassion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have compassion. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing compassion in someone, that's when someone gets very, very curious.
And grace.
And grace is a big one too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, man, when they get curious, you can point them to the thirst quencher,
mm-hmm.
which is Jesus. So I don't want my theological people to come at me and say, oh, that's not what that verse meant, blah, blah, blah. I believe that God really gives revelations at a specific time, and he can speak to you wherever and however he wants. I believe that message was for someone. I hope that helps. That's it for my Matthew talk.
Okay. Really, that was just really good.
Yeah. Thanks, honey. Go ahead. Okay. Your turn.
Okay.
What have you been learning? Because I really have no idea.
No, I've talked to you about this part.
Not really.
You'll recognize it once into it. Oh, yeah. So I'm in Acts. If you want to turn to chapter 16.
Yeah, actually, let me turn to it. I can turn to it as well.
Okay.
You can go ahead and start reading.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the story of a midnight deliverance. Okay. So this is when Paul and Silas were in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to start at verse 29. Oh, actually, no, we'll start at 25. Okay, so about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." So basically, he was going to kill himself because he didn't want to get in trouble for having them escape. Okay, because he was in charge of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. I just want to pause for a second. I emphasized right away in that passage. I don't know what your version says, but does it say immediately?
Yeah, it says immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that every story in the Bible, when someone comes to Jesus, they immediately get baptized.
Yeah.
Okay. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. Okay. Next part. I gotta flip my page. Hold on.
Wait, are we skipping to another chapter?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Oh, you just have to flip the page.
Yeah, I have to flip my page. When daylight came, the chief magistrates sent the police to say, "Release those men." The jailer reported these words to Paul. "The magistrates have sent orders for you to be released, so come out now and go in peace." Okay. So when you read this story, it's like, oh, okay. So they got out. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were released.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually look at the details of it, you can see that the earthquake was not for Paul and Silas to get out, right? Because they were already going to be released the next day.
Now I remember the story you're telling me. Yeah, this is a Yahtzee.
The earthquake was literally for the jailer to come to Jesus.
Mm.
It had nothing to do with them escaping, even though that's what happened.
And their household.
And their household.
Not just one
He got
person.
So hyped up. He said, "Let's go. Come talk to my family. I want all of them to go to heaven too." Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So this story, the reason why it stood out to me so much is because I feel like a lot of times people will see something or they'll experience something bad happening in their life. And they get to the end of the road and they're like, "Why did I have to go through that?"
Mm.
You know? And I feel like most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, if you really sit down and look back and look at all of the details and all of the events that led you to where you were after you got out of that rough patch, you can probably see God's hand all over it and how he used your story to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
So like they were literally in prison, shackled. And the Lord was like, okay, I'm going to let you out and you're going to help these people. Right. So he used that pain that they had in jail. And the second that they got out, they weren't like, oh, we're free. Let's leave. That wasn't on their mind. It was, how can I bring these people to Jesus? You know, like the guy was like, how do I do this? And they were like, okay, let's go. They didn't even care. They weren't worried about getting caught or anything. They literally went straight to this jailer's household to save his entire family.
Yeah.
And that's why it spoke to me so much, because I feel like a lot of times the earthquake isn't for you. It's for other people.
Mm. The more I've been, yeah, I feel like I need to say this. The more I've been following God, the less and less I feel the need to defend God's character.
Mm.
With stuff that happens, whether it's natural disasters or things that happen in this world, the less and less we need to actually defend him of why things are actually happening, because good's going to come out of it. And also on top of it, the best thing, the number one best thing that can happen is someone being saved on this earth. That is the best. It's not winning the lottery. It's not buying a house in your 20s. It's not even getting married. The best thing to happen on this earth is being saved for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to use a story real quick, and I won't name names just for sake of privacy. But one of my best friend's cousin recently came to the Lord. And the reason why she came to the conclusion she did is because she works in the ER. And she's seen so many miracles that she said it's impossible for there to not be a God. And after studying and researching, Jesus is the one true God. So that's why she's following him. But she was like, there were so many instances in those rooms where science proved, should have proved, that this person was dead or something really bad was going to happen next. And miracles happened. And it could be discouraging. Like, this is just like a far-fetched example, but it could be discouraging for those people. Like, why am I in the ER? Why am I in this situation? But like, little do they know that they literally led her to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he can use any situation that we go through, like literally anything. I've heard a lot of stories about people being in the hospital and like reaching people there just because of what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Anything else on that topic, honey?
No, that was all for that one.
Okay. So I'll read in one of my favorite books of the Bible, actually, 1 Corinthians. This is something that I was dissecting for a very long time this morning. I was gobbling it up, as one would say. You know what? Why don't I just go ahead and read all of it? So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. Honey, why don't you open it too? I want you to get fed this.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and start.
Wait, what did you say, 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1.
Got it.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Ooh, mine, so that is what version?
In KJV.
Okay.
What does yours say?
Mine says, my speech and preaching were not with the persuasive words of wisdom. Sorry.
No, we can hear you.
That. Okay. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power.
Mm. Okay. So I got to read y'all the commentary. This blew my socks off. Okay, so the power Paul had in ministry was not found in his words, but in his spirit-filled life. The word demonstration means the most rigorous proof.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit produces supernatural results in gospel preaching and witnessing and in the Christian life that prove the validity and authenticity of the message.
Mm.
You know what Paul is saying here, honey?
Mm.
He's saying the sermon that you're preaching doesn't really matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like the person who's preaching it does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally all based on the Holy Spirit working through you.
Yeah.
The person at hand, the pastor you're listening to, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Literally zilch.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I should have written some more stuff down because I'm going to actually hold on. I wanted to read something else too. Okay, here we go. We're going to, we're going to jump down to, we're going to jump down to verse 10, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I'm going to read verse 13 too. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I'm going to read the commentary for that as well. So it says, Paul uses humans as an analogy. No one can truly know another person's thoughts. Only the individual knows his or her own thoughts. Similarly, because the Holy Spirit is fully God, the Spirit understands the thoughts and wisdom of God. Therefore, he is able to teach believers the truth of God. Here's the kicker. An unbeliever can study the scriptures and learn certain facts about the Almighty, but only through the illumination of the Spirit does true understanding come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you this right now, bro. If you are arguing with a non-believer, they will not understand this book at all until they are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul is talking about.
Yeah.
Stop arguing with those people, man. It took me so long to understand this.
Yeah.
But seriously, if they, and this is not like a, oh, Christians know everything, we're boasting. No, this is not this at all. This is not what I'm saying. If they are not filled with the Spirit, they will not be getting the revelation
that's
of this book.
Yeah, that's they're the going power to be of the Spirit.
Yeah, they're going to be taking it as a historical fact and a historical document, if they even believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest objection with unbelievers is, I've never seen another man resurrect from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it a freaking miracle, man.
Yeah.
And until you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to think of it as a miracle. You're going to think of it as a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And we have too many believers arguing with non-believers about this. Bro, let's go. This is the revelation I caught this morning. Because God was like, go back to this. Now go to this. Now go back to this. He does that a lot. He just ping-pongs off of a couple verses.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back to this. Okay. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. They're not going to come to Jesus unless they see the Holy Spirit in you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You can know this whole entire book, but if you're not preaching with the Holy Spirit in you, they're never going to come to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul is talking about here.
Yeah.
And let's read the commentary one more time.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit produces supernatural results in gospel preaching and witnessing and in the Christian life that prove the validity and authenticity of the message. The Holy Spirit is what brings people to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. not how wise you are. Mm-hmm. That's not the way the gospel works. Mm-hmm. The gospel is through one person, and that's through Jesus, mm-hmm. not by how many Bible verses you have memorized or the arguments that you have for defending God. Mm-hmm. That's not what brings people to the faith. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, honey. What are
your
thoughts?
That was really, really good. It also made me think of how a lot of people will hate on big churches for doing like elaborate things. Because I know we've talked about this, but it shouldn't take that to get people to come to Jesus and for the Spirit to work. Because I feel like a lot of times, some churches will see another church do something and then they're like, oh, I need to do this.
I need to do it because it brings people in. Yeah. Yes.
But at the same time, it's like the power of the Spirit doesn't need your help with that. Like, he doesn't need you to do some elaborate thing to make church more attractive for non-believers. Like, what he needs is believers to invite non-believers to church so that he can do the work.
Yeah.
Because there, I remember a girl that I was friends with back in Ohio. She was like, I go to church with my mom sometimes. And she's like, I cry every single time I'm in that room. And I'm like, I literally, my response was, that's the power of the Spirit. Like, he's there, he's tapping your shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know people have certain opinions about like worship and like how they'll cry just because it's an emotional moment. But like, that's the Spirit. You know, mm-hmm. like I don't cry to other songs, you know?
Yeah. I don't cry to rock
and it's always random. Like I'll shuffle random worship music and then like one song, one lyric will hit me and I'll just lose it. And yeah. I'm like that was the Spirit, you know, mm-hmm. like it doesn't need to be some elaborate thing. Like Paul's talking about, like he's living it out, you know, that's why we have so much appreciation for our pastor because mm-hmm. on Easter and Christmas, he literally stands up there with his Bible. He doesn't do some elaborate thing. I think one time we had a choir, but that was it. Like, it wasn't some,
that's usually
like,
for Easter, yeah.
It wasn't some, like, huge drawn-out play with people dancing to, like, make it super attractive. You know, it was literally just him reading scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one more thing I want to say, honey, is the churches that may do these things on Easter and Christmas, mm-hmm. Hot take. And this is going to be completely counter and anti from what you just said. I'm actually all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, let me clarify. I am all for it if you have the gift of creativity in that regard, mm-hmm. and God told you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm not for is you see one church does it, and you think that that brings a lot of people in. So mm-hmm. now you think that you need to do it, mm-hmm. and it's like a trend thing, mm-hmm. that's what I'm against.
Yeah.
But if, you know, everyone look at, let's just talk about the elephant in the room, dude. Everyone's talking about Mike Todd's church, mm-hmm. all right? Listen, man, like the people that hate on Mike, y'all know Mike Todd?
Yeah.
Have y'all ever met him? Have y'all ever had one conversation with him ever? Mm-hmm. Or do y'all just watch Easter service because you need a reaction video? Like, I don't know.
Or you listen to other people's reaction videos.
Exactly. And then you formulate your opinion because it was theirs. And then it's trendy to hate on people. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense, man. Like, people can get saved anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if...
I was in my bedroom.
Yeah. And like, I'll be honest, like, shame on you guys for hating on a church that is bringing more people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's really pitiful, in my opinion. That is very, very pitiful.
And self-righteous.
And yes, and very self-righteous. And dude, all of us have gifts. Like we've talked about this before. All of us in the body of Christ have gifts. Mm-hmm. If God has given you a gift of creativity, because this is something that people don't know about transformation. Mike's been doing this for about 15 years.
Yeah.
If y'all actually study up on your homework about Mike Todd, he's been doing this for 15 years. He just didn't go viral until about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this with 30-40 people in the pulpit, guys.
Yeah.
And now since it's come to light, people want to hate him. It's like, well, he's been doing this forever. And I'm not trying to defend the man, but it's like, I don't listen to his sermons or anything, but it's like, have y'all even done any research on him at all? Like, mm-hmm. and also, like, what's your gift? Because he has this really cool gift of, you know, putting sermons in a way of like, I've listened to his sermon prep before, and he'll tell people to go to Walmart and buy a tissue box and something else. It's just like really interesting, creative things. And I'm like, my mind can't think like that. Mm-hmm. But yet that tissue box may bring someone to Jesus because he takes a part of scripture and compares it to this, and it makes people understand it more. It's like, dude, we should be praising God for that, how he's actually obeying, you know, the call that he has on his life. The call on your life is probably not to hate on another guy.
Yeah.
It's probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe, but it's probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not really a gift.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Go ahead, honey. I don't mean to rant, but I just wanted to clarify that because I think mega churches can be absolutely fantastic. I think it becomes a problem when churches start copying other churches, because instead of it being led by God and being led by the Spirit, it's actually being led by men that are quote unquote trendy. And yeah, that's when it becomes a problem, because you're going to start disobeying God.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that will not be a fun reward in heaven.
Yeah.
If you're taking another man's trend that is going on in church and putting it on your own, and you're disobeying what God is telling you to do. Oof. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm.
And also, like, the Spirit will give you discernment if you're a follower on, like, how that church is, you know, and like how the pastor is. Yeah. Like, he's very powerful.
Who?
The Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like,
I thought you were talking about some pastor.
No.
Yeah.
No, like, we have gone, when we first moved here, we went to a church, and I was immediately like, I had a bad taste in my mouth from the pastor. And I'm sure he's a great guy deep down. I just did not believe in the way that he was teaching and what he was teaching, you know? And like, I got that discernment as soon as we walked in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been multiple instances where I've encountered someone and been like, eh.
Yeah.
It's like, he's there. He's he's going to tell you, you know? And this is kind of what we talked about a couple episodes, where like a lot of people don't trust the Spirit and they feel like they need to intercede and like tell someone. And like, I feel like the only time when that's necessary is when someone's new in their faith and they don't know a lot. And like, they still have the Holy Spirit, but maybe it's not as loud to them because they're still like young in their faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, if they need help with something, like a little correction, like that's different. But like, to sit here and make videos about mega churches that you don't know anything about, or that you've never even gone to.
Yeah.
Is a little far-fetched.
Yeah. This is full circle, honey. Because you literally just talked about the verse that I just read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What you literally just said.
Yeah.
Just in another way.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, honey.
That was really, really good. So I'm going to go back to a couple chapters in Acts, to chapter 8. So there is
That's crazy. I was just thinking that. I was like, she's going to go to chapter 8. Don't even know what's in it.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to talk about Simon's sin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you remember that story? Okay. So we're going to start at verse 18, I think is what this says. Man, I need glasses. Okay. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter told him, "May your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God." So basically, he was trying to purchase the gifts of God with money. Okay. His sin was his desire to possess spiritual power for personal gain. And this is something that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, and it might be something on a smaller scale. And I'm just going to get raw and real for a second. This is something that I have struggled with, not paying for spiritual power in that way, not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have wanted to essentially have God use me in ways that he didn't want to use me so that I could have personal gain. So like we talked about this on Sunday, how everyone gets different spiritual gifts. Okay. And essentially I was trying to force a spiritual gift in a sense. I'm using this like hypothetically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was trying to possess that for personal gain. Okay. So I wasn't following the will of God, but I was asking God to bless something that I wanted to do for myself instead of doing what he wants me to do.
Yeah.
Right. So I think this was probably Simon's heart posture was he sees someone else doing something
mm-hmm.
and says, oh, I could do that too. Can I pay for this
mm-hmm.
so that he could have a spotlight on him and he could look right in yeah. men's eyes.
That's really
and
good,
then
honey.
Deep down, God's like, wait a second. I know where your heart is. That's not why you want this gift. So it's almost like someone sitting here saying like, I want, if we just go back to the spiritual gifts, like I want to be able to speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And deep down, their heart posture is for personal gain. So they'll go out and speak in tongues in public and just like getting people's attention to like have that personal gain and that attention on them. And deep down in their heart, like that's not truly, like that's truly the reason why they wanted it. Not... Yeah.
For the real reason
why it was even created in the first place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we were talking about people's calling. I feel like that's something that you can stumble into is...
Oh, 100%, honey.
Trying to follow someone else's calling because you see the personal gain that it gave them. So for me, it was like mom content. And there was women that I was looking up to on social media mm-hmm. that were posting mom content.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to force myself to post mom content
yep.
for personal gain,
yep.
not to actually reach people.
Yep.
And I just made a video about this, about how I'm not posting it anymore. And we just talked about this because my heart wasn't in the right place. And I feel like I'm obeying the Lord and actually doing him like a favor by posting Christian content like how I used to. So like that's what I'm going back to.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world's tempting and you see things happening online, and I was going through a rough patch. I want to be a mom. I want to focus on our daughter. And we can't really do that right now. And I was like, oh, this is my end. This is my personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he'll reveal that to you.
Yeah.
And it's going to hurt you so bad mentally and spiritually if you disobey him and keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to force something for so long that I literally lost myself. And I was a horrible mother.
Yeah.
In my mind. Because I wasn't able to give my daughter 100% of me. And I also wasn't able to be a good wife because I was beating myself up about how, oh, I need to post this. I need to do this. Or I need to be a certain way because this is how all the moms online are. Yeah. And it's like, our daughter cried for the first 3 months. That's not normal. And I was over here beating myself up like I was doing something wrong. And I kept telling you, I saw this video about this. And it's not helping. And it's like, ugh. Just like drowning.
Enough with the videos.
Yeah, seriously. No, but they had a huge impact on me, and I'm over here consuming it, trying to make it. And it was just like a lot, but anyways.
What was that guy's name again?
Simon.
Simon. I thought it was Bryson for some reason. I'm like, oh, it's not
Bryson. I don't think there's a Bryson in the Bible.
No, there's not. That's why I was confused. You know what Simon's problem here was? He was afraid that God's will was not going to be done in his life. He thought he had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He believed
that... Well, he was desiring someone else's will.
Yeah, he believed that God wasn't going to give him the big idea.
Yeah.
That's what every believer is searching for,
mm-hmm.
the big idea. Yeah. Guys, you don't need to search anywhere else.
Yeah.
Except that book and a prayer closet.
And
that's where the big idea is going. It's not going to come from your influencer. It's not going to come from your pastor.
Yeah.
Stop listening to the what if messages.
Yeah.
Stop listening to those. Yeah. Well, what if you're supposed to do this? Stop listening to those, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when's the last time you sat in silence for an hour and a half in your prayer closet?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you asked for that idea, that mm-hmm. opportunity that needs to happen? And one thing I will say is it's probably going to be something unusual.
Yes.
That's what it will probably be. It will probably be something unusual and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that God is calling you to. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be something where, oh yeah, I'm really used to this. I can just tag God's name along with it. Nope, that's probably not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now I'm the what if guy. But these are just personal experiences I've had.
Yeah.
Because I'm freaking Simon a lot.
Yeah.
In this.
I think we all are.
I mean, you know, social media is powerful. Churches are powerful. Seeing someone have power is
tempting.
Very tempting.
Mm-hmm.
And when, again, we can go back to the mega church situation, you see a church down the street doing really well and your bills are getting paid, people mm-hmm. are coming in, you know, they're not tithing, they're giving 30-40%. And you're over here like, well, dang, I must be doing what this guy's doing because I can barely afford, you know, my light bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nope, nope,
mm-hmm.
that, nope. No disciple or no prophet in the Bible did the same thing. They were all different in their own way.
Yeah.
They preached the same message. They were all different, though.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all one non-denominational mega church.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. We all have different gifts. We're all different in the body. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what Simon was struggling with.
Yeah. And I also want to point out the next couple verses because I feel like a lot of times people will stop there and be like, oh, this is me. I need to stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened next. So Peter is talking to him. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. Mm-hmm. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness. First of all, couple notes here.
Wow.
Couple notes here. The first thing he does is point out his sin.
Yeah, he does.
The second thing he does is tell him to repent.
Yeah.
And pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. Peter literally saw right through him.
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay.
Yep, sure did.
For I see you are poisoned.
Yep.
Okay. And another thing that I also want to point out, there's so many little things here. He told Simon to go to the Lord and pray and ask for forgiveness. He didn't do it for him. He didn't say, hey, come here, let's sit down together and let's ask for repentance.
Mm.
No, he called him out and he told him to go repent. And that his heart wasn't in the right place.
Mm.
Okay. Then Simon replies, pray to the Lord for me, Simon replied, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Simon felt conviction, but would not humble his heart and repent. And I think a lot of times we do this in our relationship with the Lord where we'll feel a conviction and we'll obey it, but we won't humble ourselves and have a repentant heart. So what I mean by that is like, because we all should know this, that the Lord knows everything that we're thinking,
mm-hmm.
even if it doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there have been instances where I think a bad thought and I'm like, oh, I get convicted and shouldn't think that way. And the next step should be, and this is something that I struggle with, that I need to work through. Is the next step, I just skip it. I'm like, oh, I felt the conviction. I don't do it. See you later. It's gone. No, it's not. It was there in the first place.
Yeah.
So I obey the conviction. The next step is, Lord, forgive me for thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah. Change my ways.
Yeah.
Change the way I think.
If we're aware of it, we need to have a conversation with him.
Sure do.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this was wrong. Yeah. Like, I should not have... When I yelled at Bella, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I brought this up as an example. Yeah. I was just irritable.
Yeah.
And yelled at her. And then I got convicted about yelling at my dog. Mm. And instead of just moving on from that, I should have been like, I'm sorry for thinking that way. Lord, help me have patience in this situation and not be annoyed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That story is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about repentance way more in the Western church.
Yeah, we do.
We talk about it. You need to repent of your sins, period. It's not a one-time thing, bro.
No.
You're going to be repenting for the rest of your life. And here's what I want to add, honey, is we get the conviction. Maybe we do something that we know we shouldn't do, watch adult content, whatever. We know what's bad. We skip the repentance step. You know what we go to next? We go to setting up boundaries. The boundaries is trying to fight the sin in your own strength.
Mm.
So instead of you relying on God's Spirit to change your ways, mm-hmm. you're trying to rely on your own strength. Those boundaries aren't going to help you worth jack, man.
Yeah.
Unless you repent mm-hmm. from it and unless you rely on His Spirit.
Well, because here's the thing is like for that example, you could throw away your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw away your computer. You can throw away whatever you're using.
I know what you're going to say. Keep going.
But the thought is still there.
Yep, right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in your head.
It's still there. You can't set up a boundary on your mind.
Yeah.
You can set up boundaries with devices.
And that's when you start to spiral.
Yep, right there. Here we go. It's right there. It's literally in the book.
And I just want to...
It's in the book.
Add a disclaimer. We are not perfect, and we do this.
Every day.
We'll get convicted about something.
Actually, no, yeah, every day.
Yeah, just no, about. There's been multiple instances where I've not repented,
mm-hmm.
you know? And now that I had this revelation about my content and everything that I was talking to you about today, like, I need to be repentant of...
Yeah, what you were just doing.
Yeah.
I had to do that with my content. Yeah. I told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard 2 weeks for me. I was in... It was a lot of hard mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my office just asking for forgiveness because what I was doing just was not what I was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you ignore convictions and the sin in your life... It's gonna be a steep decline.
You know what getting rid of, like how we were talking about like getting rid of devices and stuff? Those are Band-Aids.
Yeah, Band-Aids.
You're putting Band-Aids on a bullet hole, as Morgan Wallen would say.
Oh, is that what he says? Is that one of his
songs? One of his
songs. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so setting up boundaries is really, really good. The first step is, you know, repentance. Or the first step is you stumble into sin, okay, repent, okay, set up boundaries, good. And the thing is while these boundaries are being set, your mind is going to be renewed and it's going to remind you of what you were before mm-hmm. you set up those boundaries. I don't know if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
but you know, when I'm talking to people and discipling people that are going through stuff like this, I kind of skip the whole repentance step and I'm mm-hmm. like, well, have you set up boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it's very like simple because I never want to, like, you know, obviously no one wants to disobey God, but when there's something that's really like an idol in my life or something, I'm like, why don't you just cut it off?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't you just stop? And for some people, it's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I kind of like lay down the hammer and I'm like, well, dude, if the iPhone's drawing you to do that, get a track phone,
mm-hmm.
get a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
You can't access the internet on that. Get a, you know, a minute phone, whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Get a flip phone. And for me, that's just kind of how my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I skip the repentance step, and that's mm-hmm. that's the biggest step.
Yeah.
Because the repentance could really change your mind in order for you to maybe not set up boundaries.
Well, when we repent, what's happening?
You're being renewed.
You're admitting to God that what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once you come to the agreement that God knows best and what you're doing is not something you should be doing, then you can get freedom from it.
Yeah.
You know, like you're still going to be in chains if you don't feel like you did anything wrong. And you're just like, I'm sorry. And then like the next day you don't like truly deep down mean it. And the next day you do it again. And it's like, man, why is this struggling so hard? And the Lord's up there like, ask me for help.
Yeah.
Like, allow me to lead you. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm here. Yeah. And you're drowning me out with everything else. You know?
Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time too, honey. I feel like I'm asking for God, but he's being silent. And bro, was it true repentance or was it, slipped up again?
Yeah.
Like, no, bro. Like, is it true? Like, God knows your deepest, darkest secrets, man. He knows if you're actually repenting or not.
He
knows if you're actually meaning it.
He knows your heart posture.
Yeah, he knows your heart posture. So you can say, I repent and not mean it.
Yeah.
Anyone could say that. An atheist could say that. You know, that doesn't matter. It's, do you actually mean, you know, the repent? Are you actually meaning that?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, okay, we're done. we're going on for very long. We hope you guys enjoyed. We love y'all so much. We will catch y'all next Wednesday on the tripod.
Peace.